da-da-da-da-da. From Chris and Andy's world, I present The Blue Baggers, a show dedicated to the Carlton Football Club, the old dark navy blues, the Blue Boys. So strap in, crack a tinny, relax, tally-ho, gents.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of The Blue Baggers. I'm Chris and I have my trusty compatriot here, Andy, and I said trusty, not crusty, but both could probably work at this stage.
Hi Chris, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we headed down to the Carlton Family Day.
We did it at Princes Park.
At Princes Park, yeah.
Yep.
Good to be back on home soil.
It was awesome.
So yeah, it was the Family Day as we mentioned, and there was a pretty intense Carlton senior training session there. Probably went for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So we're going to report on that and bring you a bit of an update of every player on the list.
And we'll preface this by saying I got there actually a bit earlier than Chris. I think I got there at 9 o'clock, and then you came just a little bit after me, and I had to leave early due to
had other duties.
I had another duty. So we covered the whole training. Unfortunately, we both missed the AFLW training this morning, but it was good to see them actually signing autographs at the end. So
lucky. And very popular they were.
Yeah, they were.
Bring a whole new element to the club, don't they?
Yeah,
the kids love them.
Yeah, they did. So it was, but it was good to see the guys out there at least, and hopefully we can report on them.
Absolutely. Look, we'll start the show off with a serious note.
Yep.
Get this out of the way. Then we can move on to the more fun stuff.
Yep, what's going on?
So I've been holding on to this one since our last episode we did with Terry, and that was quite some time ago now.
Well, not that long ago, it was probably 3 weeks ago.
So, yeah, well, there we go. Depends on what your time measurement is.
It's the off-season.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But look, I've held on to this one, and I wanted to ask this question whilst we were on air.
I'm nervous.
I wanted your honest feedback with this one.
Could you have told me before we did this?
I could have, but I've held off that long. I wasn't going to. So I'll set the scene.
Yep.
You go to the bathroom, you finish your business, you go to reach out to the toilet roll. Alas, it's empty. That's a different matter altogether. You pick it off, replace it with the new one.
Yep.
What percentage do you perfectly unroll the new toilet roll? And I'm talking about where it doesn't stick and doesn't take a few different layers with it. What is your success rate at the perfect unroll?
Aren't we talking about the training today?
We are, but let's get this one off quickly. Come on.
I don't know. Probably, yeah, I suppose it's not a high percentage.
Is that going to give us something?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's probably not a high percentage. It's probably a more difficult, you know, thing than most. It's
could have... all.
I don't know. I'd say maybe a 20...
That's not good enough, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not good enough.
Well, I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, maybe they should, you know, wrap it up, you know, without kind of sticking it together so it can produce a higher success rate. I don't know.
There's work to be done there, isn't there?
There's
work to be done.
And we're always going to be a football question.
What's giving me the Bradley Pitts? What's giving me the Bradley Pitts? It doesn't have to be football related.
It sounds like it's giving you the Bradley Pitts.
It is giving me the Bradley Pitts. So I've got it off my chest, so let's move on.
Jeez. All right, we'll move on. Anything else bothering you in life?
The show's not just about football.
I think it's called the Blue Baggers.
All right,
I don't mind it. What are we? Yeah, where are we? Yeah, so footy.
Let's go. Yeah, football. Good start. Let's start. Well, we're speaking of doing a regular segment, so we've just done what's giving the Bradley Pitts.
Yep.
Let's go with clip or clap.
Yep.
Early in the show.
Okay, clip or clap this early.
Earlier than normal, but...
All right. Hit me up.
It's a fan favourite, apparently, so let's roll with it.
All right. Hit me up.
All right. Clip or clap. The weather today, training.
The weather at training today. Yeah, it was funny because it was 43 degrees last family day, and they had to cancel the training day.
They did, didn't they?
And today it was a pretty miserable kind of Melbourne day. I'm going to give the weather a clip because it was dreary. But I almost want to give the rain a bit of a clap, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well,
because the rain wasn't a light rain. It was a rain that didn't soak outer garments. It was consistent, but it was quite light. And so the weather in general, it's a clip because, you know, we don't want to see that kind of weather. However, the rain, at least it didn't buck it down and, you know, you could stand out there and enjoy yourself without trying to take cover. So
I was shorts and T-shirt, got cold by the end of it, but this could be a long segment if we... clip or clap.
Yep.
Keep it sharp.
Keep it sharp.
The toaster you had from the Barclay Smokehouse. What was it?
It was a $10 grilled cheese toastie.
Clip or clap?
I'm going to give it a I'm going to give a clap. However, there was too much salt on the bread.
Good. Hidden.
I'm going to give you a clip or clap. Yep. How'd you find the atmosphere just in general with the supporters and everything today?
Atmosphere was good. Yeah, so it's going to be a clap. Clap. Definitely a clap. What about, considering the rain, yep, yep, clap.
Happy with that. What about the kind of family-friendly vibe? Did you feel there was enough catered for?
Definitely a clap.
Clap.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. There were petting zoos. There were jumping castles.
It was. They did it really well, Carlton, I've got to admit.
Yeah, there was music.
Yep. What about famous supporters or ex-players in attendance?
Clip. Didn't notice any.
Didn't see anyone.
But yeah, maybe we're focusing on the ground too much. Although we did have a diesel out in the ground, so that was good to see.
Yeah, that's running the drills. He's a famous ex-player. All right. We got anything else for clip or clap? I think that kind of...
If we leave it there.
Actually, on. I want to... The training drills today, were you happy with them?
Yeah, yeah. I'll
give terms
that.
Of what, in terms of watching it as
hell, yeah, it's a clap. They, yeah, it looked absolutely focused.
So run us down. What did they have for the training today?
Well, you were there for the start, so you, maybe you started off.
Well, they had a... players were paired up, and it was a bit of a marking drill and kicking back to the top of the 50. I think the second drill we saw was... And all these drills were rotating, which was good because it was quite a lot of people.
Everyone is always active, weren't they?
Yeah, it was. But you couldn't see, obviously, up the other end of the ground. We weren't going to keep walking up and down, but they rotated it through. So we did get to have a look at a lot of players, which is good.
Yeah, look, I thought one of the interesting things was that they spent quite a lot of time in the drill, and that was just in front of us down at the members' end. Was basically setting up for a ruck contest.
Yep.
But instead of throwing the ball up for the rucks to go, it was thrown low. So as it would be, I guess, once the taps happened, and trying to extract the ball and move it out with some pace. So
the handball only drill.
Yeah, absolutely. It was all focused on quick hands, smart thinking. So
and good for weather like that.
Yeah, yeah, well. It was good. It was slippery. They did spend a lot of time, so it was noticeable how much time they spent on that drill. Yep. Which is interesting. And yeah, obviously with the weather, as you've mentioned before, skills might have been down a little bit what they would have if it had been a nice dry day. So important to note.
Yeah, it looked really slippery out there. But I missed the match simulation at the end. So
yeah, so with the match simulation, they had a pretty hard session up until then. I'm not sure exactly, but it must have been a bit over an hour.
Yep. With running drills as well.
With running drills and everything. And like we said, there was not too much standing by, listening. It was every player was active in their respective parts of the field and their drills that way. And then they broke down to match simulation, orange versus blues. And to be honest, it was kind of split. Sometimes they'll do a probables versus a possibles split. It looked pretty even. Split in the score at the end of it certainly demonstrated that. So they played one quarter, and I think it was probably a full-length quarter. And then that was... They called it a day after that, but all in all, it was probably about an hour and a half, 2 hour session, and in sort of heavy conditions.
So, obviously, we went down and watched as many plays as we could. We only have two sets of eyes.
Yeah, and that's
and I had my eyes on a toasty for 10 minutes.
At least 20 minutes.
I reckon it wasn't 20 minutes.
Yeah, you had your eyes on it for 20 minutes and your mouth operator that'll finished it in about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
so
no, that's probably quickly. Fair enough. So look, we tried our best to have a look at every player.
And that's an important point you make that, we had two sets of eyes and we're looking out, but it was a full field, wasn't it? It meant there were a lot of numbers out there. So we didn't count exactly, but... you'd rather that than being able to identify everybody because it suggests that we've got less players out there, more on the injury list. So it was a good, healthier number of players out in the field.
However, we will discuss that there were some players that didn't train today, but we'll get to that a bit later. But obviously, we had a few listeners.
Put it out on social media to give us a bit of an idea of who we should pay close attention to, and we obliged.
Yeah, so on Facebook and Twitter, we had a few...
some very good suggestions too.
Good suggestions.
To be honest.
So we have focused on these players. So, Chris, if I'm the stat man, you're the training man. Okay. So I'm gonna, if you want stats,
yeah, I've got to pull my weight.
You give me a call. I'll when it comes to training, you're a smart kind of training guy. You used to coach a lot of sports, so you know kind of what's going on. You're
what the listeners decide,
you're. We'll see. So look, I'll start with the first. So we've got Raffy off Facebook. He was particularly interested in Kerno, Philp, and Williamson.
Okay, so if we're talking about those, Kerno is going to be a bit disappointing, as we probably all know. He didn't do anything really. He was out there in his shorts and his tracksuit top and walked out on the ground a couple of times, had a little bit of a kick of the footy on his own. But, look, as the news it seemed to sort of reinforce tonight that he's going to miss a big chunk of the season. You know, we're looking at maybe that timeline being half the season. That might be a bit optimistic at this stage. Who knows?
In fairness, sorry, Chris, but we said last podcast with Terry from Blue Abroad, we did say he would likely miss half the season.
Yeah,
there were a few people that had a kind of
a little bit of a dig at us for that.
And it's just come out in the news tonight, which I'm not saying trust the news entirely.
We're happy about that as well.
But yeah, saying he probably will miss half the season. That's what Teague's kind of...
Yeah, well, the fear is he's not in any sort of training rehab group at all at this stage, so they can't really put a timeline on until he starts getting there and they can start measuring, you know, what he's doing and how he's responding that way. So, yeah, it's a bit disappointing for you, Rafi. There's not much to report there.
Philpy.
Yeah, Philp was a good one. I kept a very close eye because we were pretty excited. And look, he's you look at it and say Kemp's out because, you know, he won't play for most of the year. So he's our next highest draft pick that we had. So we're naturally going to be inclined to have a little look there. So that was a good suggestion. But he's looking great. Yeah. He's looking really good. So
that drill you're talking about where the it was the ruck simulation type drill, he looked really explosive. And he kind of got amongst it, didn't he? He
stood out, not because necessarily just because we were looking at him closely, because he was getting involved and he was amongst it. And he was getting first hands on the ball and also tackling hard and getting up.
And bigger than I kind of thought.
Yeah.
Seeing him in the person, because when you obviously read the weight and the height when you're going through the draft stuff, I thought he looked all right. And Terry last pod said that he's a possibility he'll likely play. And, you know, I tend to agree with how he looked on the training track today, barring the dreaded I word. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw a few pictures of him and that sort of led you. And there might have been older pictures at the start of last season. And he did look a bit skinny, but he looked good today. In fact, he kind of looks a bit like a junior Dygan, and he's wearing that same number 34. Yeah. he just looks like a younger version of Dygan. So
if he can win us a final...
That's all he has to do for his career.
For his
isn't
final
it?
Game. Yeah.
So yeah, no, he was great. Yeah, now out and about. And he looked comfortable. He looked like he belonged. He didn't look like a first year player, that's for sure. And he went head to head with Lockie O'Brien. And then we'll get to the match simulation probably a bit later. We'll talk about it. But they're both playing out in the wing and, you know, manning each other pretty tightly, and it went head to head and both got plenty of the ball.
All right, Rafi also wants to know about Williamson.
Yeah, Williamson, he looks good. He's impressive, the stature on him. I didn't notice him that much, which is probably, you know, possibly a good thing and a bad thing. So he didn't stand out for making any errors, but didn't get a whole lot of it. But once again, you know, we're sort of stationed on one part of the wing or pocket.
Notice personally there was running drills conducted probably about midway through the session, and he was not leading, but he was second or third behind Lockie O'Brien in the race. So he looks fit, which is really good because he's obviously had that back complaint and everything like that. So hopefully he's raring to go for round one.
Yeah, and we know he's an athlete. We know he runs well, and it's just good to have him out there. But comfortable enough that he was out the front leading, so that's a good point.
Yep. All right, Dane on Facebook wanted to know about Stocker, Gibbons, and Harry Mackay. So I think you can quash one of them pretty quick.
Yeah, look, Harry Mackay, very similar to Charlie, really. Unsighted, he went around, did some autographs at the end, but not out on the track. And you know, how he's going to be for sort of round 1 to 5, I'm not sure. He's obviously quite underdone. How much they're sort of just slowly introducing him back into, you know, training and match simulation, we're not quite sure. But yeah, didn't do a lot. Gibbons wasn't there, as far as I can tell, unless you saw him. But
I'm pretty sure I saw Gibbons.
You do? Yeah. Well, if that's the case,
might have been up the other end. I didn't.
Unless he started and then went off the track. But I certainly didn't notice him. And
Stocker.
Yeah, Stocker was out there, full training. Got amongst it. He's the type of player that doesn't really stand out because he's sort of your average height, you know, your average build. He was out in my wing for a bit and he did get a bit of the ball in the match simulation.
And the main thing is he had a full training.
Yeah, had full training and he looked good. He looked good, but can't give much more than that.
Physically, he looks good, yeah.
Oh, he looks great, yeah. Yeah.
All right, off Twitter, Trav wants to know about Setterfield.
Setterfield looked good. And
he did.
Yeah, he carried on sort of what we discussed in a lot of the sort of the news that Terry brought us in the last podcast about how well he was tracking. I'm pretty sure he was Terry's boy, wasn't he? Was Setterfield Terry's boy?
Ooh.
I think he was. So, he was looking good and just looks a lot more comfortable. Like we said last, you know, show, he, he's still young, and we've got this higher expectation. But he looks like he's filled out a little bit. The body's looking better.
Yeah.
And he was amongst it. They mostly played him down forward in the match simulation, sort of that half forward.
I reckon that's an indication of things to come, because the one thing I did notice today, I mean, Setterfield, he does look a lot better, like he's in terms of his physique. He's bulked up a bit, but he just still doesn't have that explosive pace. I don't think he ever will.
Yeah.
He was never that player. That's not why we got him. So but maybe he does play a bit more forward because he's got the height.
And, yeah, absolutely. And look, another one just looked confident out there from a year ago when we saw him out there. This looks more confident, more involved, and yeah, found plenty of it. So yeah, looking good.
All right, Tim wanted to know about Sam Filt, but we've touched on him. And Johnny wanted to know about Liam Stocker, but we've touched on him. So there's two others from Nick. He wanted to know about Martin and Sam Doherty.
Yeah, okay. Interesting names mentioned. I think there's probably a reason, because they've probably either missed some of the training or they've got question marks over them.
Yep.
Martin didn't participate, unless he did before I got there, but he was out there afterwards. That's where I first noticed him signing autographs.
Yeah.
Looked like a bit of a rock star. He's certainly got the fans, on his side, and he could get his signature, but no, he didn't participate. And the other one was
Doc.
Doc. We were watching Doc probably the most today,
it's fair to say.
Yeah.
More because, because of obviously the bad injuries he's had, but he was training pretty hard today.
He was 100%, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked awesome.
We're all cautious about him. We're all a bit worried about him. He's not worried about himself, by the way. He was throwing himself out there.
Oh, that's the kind of player he is. I don't think he would.
And
he's done the right thing. He's got himself, he's done everything, I'd imagine, because that's the type of player he is and how professional he is, that he's got himself right. And he was, there's a few times he jumped in the air and I was thinking slippery ground. He looked really good.
In that drill.
And leading by example.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a captain, co-captain with Cripper. He looked really good.
Yeah, he looked great. He's in that drill we mentioned before. He was there. He was giving second, third, fourth efforts. Make one tackle, follow up, another tackle on the ground, up, then get the ball. So he's looking ready to go, ready to go, ready to go. But, we've got to be a bit cautious, don't we?
Yeah, yep. Obviously, there are players we haven't touched on. I'm just going to quickly go through the 2020 player list. Chris, I'm going to ask you, give me a quick rundown. Let's short and sharp.
Well, we'll move through it, but we probably think it's important to touch on everybody at this stage of year. You know, it 30, is, yep. 30-something days to go.
And keep in mind that, maybe some players...
We've probably already discussed anyway.
So, Eddie Betts.
Yeah, look great. Eddie's Eddie, I think. We got what we saw. There's nothing miraculous today. There was a couple of little chances and the crowd got up and about, as you'd expect, but just solid, I'd say.
Yeah, I noticed some of his pressure around in one of the drills. He just looked quick and caused a cough up by one of the, I forget who it was, but it just kind of made me kind of excited about the forward pressure that he can still provide, because he's still so quick.
Yeah.
And I reckon, I really think that he's got a lot of good football ahead of him.
Yeah, well, it's interesting what David Teague said just at the press conference after training, when he got asked a question, and he made a sort of an inference to the fact that, he was playing with Adelaide for the last couple of years, who weren't a fantastic side, which, means it's harder for those small forwards when the ball's not coming in as much.
And he still kicked.
When you're not winning games.
Still kicked a lot
of
goals last year as well.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
In a
poor Adelaide side.
And look, we know that, how hard it's been for us to find a small forward, and you wouldn't have wanted to be a small forward in Carlton's team for the last, 5 to 10 years, really. So it's just an interesting point that Teague made. Next one.
Levi Casbolt.
Unsighted, he wasn't there. I'm hoping that's just because they're resting players, and he certainly stood out in that match simulation, because we were missing a few key forwards as a bit of a makeshift key forward line at either end.
Yep, the greatest man in the world.
Paddy Cripps, just doing Paddy Cripps things. He's just the same, Mark. He's incredible. You see him and you just see the composure he's got, and you talk about confidence, there are a few players out there that just he's head and shoulders above most anyway. But
I needed a four-man balk.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say under immense pressure.
That was, as much as you're going to get in an intra-club, but it was, he just balked once, balked twice, shimmied, balked again. Just shows confidence he's got. And Paddy Cripps is Paddy Cripps, and definitely amongst it. Moving well, he looks lighter, he's covering the ground well, so... I could talk for the next 20 minutes.
I'm going to have to stop you there before this goes into an hour on Paddy Cripps.
Yeah,
we should just do a Paddy Cripps pod.
We probably will.
Maybe we will down the track. David Cunningham.
Look good. looked good. He was my boy for the year. They have a big year, looking solid. He was there, played a bit of midfield, played a little bit pushing forward, and yeah, just, you know, fairly clean around the ground, but definitely got plenty of touches.
Charlie Curnow, well, excited, as we said.
Yep.
Ed Curnow, much of the same.
Yeah, Ed being Ed, just, you know, you don't notice him sort of accumulating it, and it's one of those games where he didn't, over the match simulation, he didn't stand out that much, around the ground didn't stand out that much, but you know, there's every chance in that one quarter match simulation he picked up 10 possessions that unnoticed, but yeah, he's looking good.
Tom DeConning?
Yeah, interesting one. He was looking, once again, pretty good. I thought they were just going to keep him in the forward line and working, and even in the drills, just working on sort of forward craft, but come match simulation, he was working up against Pitnet, and so that's your dual role, which is kind of what we're expecting of him, at least for the next couple of years. So he looked good. There weren't too many marks today, so that's obviously his strength, and you know, didn't notice that, but he actually got quite a few possessions around the ground and moving well, looking confident.
Talked about Doc, Paddy Dow.
Yeah, well, he's really changed his body. He's really worked hard, and he looks like a specimen. So he always had that body that you knew he was going to fill into and look good. But yeah, he worked hard around the ground. He, you know, a couple of iffy disposals, as he's prone to do, but yeah, found plenty of it, moving well. It could be a big year for him, but it's just that, still that question mark a little bit. But there, he wasn't on his own. The disposal wasn't great. Wet ball, slippery conditions.
Zach Fisher
looked good.
Yep, because he's been a big one for, he's got a lift. So
yeah, he's been got so a lift quite
actually.
A few.
So yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting the two of them come on the list next to each other. But yeah, he found it. His hands were pretty clean, probably, you know, cleaner than most.
Yeah, and never been a problem of his.
Yeah, and look, in some of those drills, he was tackling hard. He looks like he's put on a little bit of size, which can only sort of help him, especially if he's going to play in the midfield. So yeah, I was quite impressed with him.
The only way is up.
Yeah.
Liam Jones.
Solid Liam Jones is kind of what you expect. You know, we're talking about those confidence players, and we mentioned Cripps before. He just looks like he owns the field. He's got no worries. He's just, you know, basically playing as a halfback, as a bit of a general.
Bit of a general.
Back there and just back. Intercepting. Notice he's just zoning off. He wasn't necessarily playing on a man, just zoning off and, you know, getting in the right positions. And you knew as soon as the ball was coming anywhere near, no one was going to mark it.
Bit of a rant type kind of
Look, the position, the ball was always going to hit the ground. You weren't going to outmark him. And, you know, as he does, he follows up and he takes those risky kicks and they generally come off. So he's looking great.
Matt Kennedy,
they've played him forward, and yeah, he's an interesting one, isn't he? He's never going to be that nimble, but once again, he's certainly put in a good preseason. He's looking ripping, looking, you know, ready to go, and they played him forward, didn't stand out too much.
Well, he's got a lot of competition now with some of these players coming up through the midfield, so I reckon if he doesn't make a kind of role of it. I mean, he kind of did last year. I don't think we can rely on that all the time.
Well, yeah, and look, we thought that forward option that he played last year might have just been plugging holes and wasn't necessarily sustainable, but it looks like that's where they've got him earmarked, and that might be his go for the year. And after that, if he doesn't actually take his chances there, who knows what happens. But I think he'll probably play on that half forward, and he's got some competition for spots there, as you said.
Matty Cruiser, I can say that he was in a pink high vis and kind of as a trainer assisting with the drill, so he didn't participate. I hope that's just more cotton wool rather than anything else.
Yeah, player management, you know, load management. Hopefully that's the case. He's what, maybe 30 or so now, so if he's done all the other sessions there, that makes sense. So there's going to be a few that get rested each session.
Darcy Lang?
He actually looks pretty good. Yeah. So, you know, we've seen some reports that you know, he's fired a few shots this pre-season, and he looked good in the match simulation. He kicked a goal, lined up for another, missed that one, but actually looked pretty lively out there. He's one of those players, though. I don't think he's ever going to get more than 15 possessions a game by the looks of it.
The one thing I noticed about him today, which is not anything different to how he plays, that he tackles really well.
Yeah.
And he had that great tackle obviously last year. with the follow up and holding the ball. And so that's never been an issue, but he certainly gives you a bit of excitement. But you're right, he's not an accumulator. And
he's kind of someone we've forgotten about. And if he pushes up and puts pressure on selections, all the better. But I don't know if we're going to be relying on him.
No, I don't think best 22.
Moving forward, but
Harrison McCready.
Good to see him out there because he hasn't had a lot of continuity throughout his career. So he was out there. He's another one. You know, he defies. He doesn't look as tall as he is listed, and doesn't seem to get much of it. But it goes under the radar a bit. So a bit hard to follow.
Caleb Marchbank.
Very good. And talking about seeing players out in the track, it's great to see him out there. Yeah. So
he looked good.
He looked good, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the drills, he was moving well.
Yeah, that defensive kind of drill that he played that I noticed. I mean, it wasn't a day for people to mark, but he just looked... I'm a big fan of Marchbank, to be honest. So.
Yeah, and there's that talk that they'll try to use him on a wing, and once again, we'll have some competition for that. But, I mean, we've got that back line is quite top-heavy, and he might have to adapt a little bit, but he's got a good tank on him, so interesting to see. But, just great to have him out on the track, and once again, he looks fit, so it suggests he's... got a bit of a pre-season in.
Mitchell.
Come on.
Mitchell McGovern.
Mitch McGovern. He it was good to see him out there. He was in there for most of the drills, I reckon, from what you saw. I saw him definitely out there in the drills. Running. Yeah. And to be honest, he kind of did a mix. He was they were doing the drills, he was in for some, and then he was on the wing just having a kick, and then he ran
You liked
laps.
His running though, didn't you?
Yeah, so he ran laps for the last
Do you like
bit,
his gait?
I do like his gait. No, he impressed me. We've obviously seen him. Anyone's seen him recently or seen pictures of him.
Yeah.
He's looking trim. He's looking good. He was running and Russell was barking instructions at him, but he moves well. And we've discussed it before that he's quick, but he was doing probably what would have been 200-meter, sort of sprints around the side. And, he didn't look like he was trying too hard, but he was really covering some ground. So, I was quite impressed with how he was looking.
Mark Murph.
Yeah, classic. Yep. Murphy.
268 game player.
He's a veteran now, isn't he? So he knows what to do in the preseason, knows how to get himself right. He was amongst it and typical sort of Mark Murphy. And one of those players, again, that stands out, you see, and you go, they're confident where they are. They're confident they know their craft.
Nick Newman,
he was good.
Yep.
Didn't notice him that much until he came over and was signing autographs. And he actually looks taller than... I assumed you
How tall
would
he be?
I'm not even sure. You're the stat man. You might have an idea, but I mean, he was standing next to Mitch McGovern and didn't look much shorter than McGovern. And I know McGovern's not huge in height, but he was quite impressive. Like a lot taller than sort of given credit for. Just that smaller sort of back pocket or so. So that probably stood out to me.
Jack Nunes. I know you're. That's an interesting one. Obviously
I wanted to find him. Wanted to look. For him at one stage thought he might not have been out there, but I'm pretty sure he did do the bulk of the training. Didn't really notice him much. But that's not a good or a bad thing. We just couldn't keep an eye on every single player.
Nick Newman's 187 centimetres.
All
right, we're speaking about Lachie O'Brien. Finbar O'Dwyer.
Well, did we touch Lachie O'Brien? We touched briefly.
Oh, did we touch on him?
Yeah, I think we did briefly.
Oh, yeah, so...
But he was playing on the wing and he was up against Phil for a lot of it.
Sorry, mate.
And to be honest, like he was playing on the wing on the side where I was standing watching, so I did notice him and he accumulated the ball a lot, which is a good thing. He was getting in the right positions, had plenty of touches. He was probably a little fumblier than most and some of the disposals weren't brilliant, but it was good to see him get hands on the ball. And look, it looks like that's where they're going to try to play him on that wing and just use that gut running of his and that pace of his to just rack them up. But that trusty left foot that we know he's got and can execute, just wasn't quite there. But wet football, as we've said.
Yeah. Another recruit, Pitnet.
Pitnet, yeah. So he went in the ruck.
Pitnet.
Pitnet. He's not French. He's Italian. Pitonet. That's what we've been told.
Pitonet.
You got any more? How else could you do it?
Pitonet.
Okay, that's good.
Like a P with a internet. Apostrophe. Internet.
Pintonet.
Pintonet. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Either way. He was good. He was good. He's out there. And obviously, we probably only had the two rucks out there. It was him versus De Koning for most of it. And he looks to be, De Koning's that jumper. He looks to be sort of, more of the cruiser mode where it's more about body.
Yeah.
And you look, he's got quite a big body on him.
He's a big man.
Yeah, so he looks like
only 17 games at the Hawks. So
yeah, so I think he's probably going to be crash and bash, that type of ruckman by the looks of him so far. And look, that was the first time I've actually seen him. So yeah, he went up against the ruck, and yeah,
looked right.
Good sized body, and yeah,
see how it goes. Cam Paulson, who was he was what's the best word? He was source for frustration last year.
Yeah,
He's had a haircut.
He still looks like, you know, the little boy. He's that's sort young, of yeah, yeah, strong.
I thought he looked all right today. I mean, we know he's fast.
Yeah,
and it just looks so good on the track when you're fast. But I know that doesn't necessarily translate to games.
Yeah, so it was interesting. In the match simulation,
maybe that's why he got so many games, because he trained so well.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you got to reward players that do that. You know, and he's another one where you think, does the brain match the speed?
Yeah,
of his foot speed, and we're not quite sure, but they were playing him down back, and that's been the talk of the preseason. That's where he's been practicing, and that again, yep, that happened today. I think he played on Betts probably for that quarter of match simulation. Mm. So I'd imagine they're probably,
and he'll learn a lot from a player like Betts.
Yeah,
we said Betts is not only brings us the actual game experience, but the he'll teach a lot of players.
So that's a really interesting one, because I mean, how many is that? This is probably his third year on the list, and he's been used as that forward sort of pocket.
Only
and that
16 games, yeah.
Yeah, and that hasn't worked, you know, to date. Maybe they've sort of thrown the challenge and said, look, you know, it's not going to happen up forward. It doesn't look like it's going to happen up forward. We got to end back, and we do need that small lockdown defender. We've spoken about that before, so they might be trying to sort of get him into that role and, you know, roll the dice and say, here's your chance. And, you know, you're going to learn from one of the best if you're going to, you know, as you said, follow Eddie Betts around at training. So it could be interesting, because we do still need, I think anyway, that small lockdown defender. I mean, I know we use Marchbank, but it still doesn't feel right. He can do the job, but it's probably not ideal. So if we could
a lockdown defender.
A lockdown small defender, yeah.
I wouldn't think Paulson would fit that.
Well, looks like they're trying to do. So, I mean, if you're playing on Eddie Betts, you're probably looking to be that player.
I think that's a Stocker type role at this point for 2020.
I think Stocker's got a bit more sort of, you know, the midfield smarts about him.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I don't think that Stocker is in a position right now that he will be playing consistent football in the midfield.
Oh.
Just given his lack of experience, I think he will be kind of that lockdown.
I think so too. I think they're probably going to be competing with a couple of others that way. But
and I know who I'd prefer at this stage.
Yeah, and look, I think that's why they've thrown Paulson there though, because to get that real speedy small forward. And, you know, we know the one thing Paulson certainly does have is pace.
Yeah.
So, look, I think that's what they're trialling.
Do you trust the disposal out of the back line though?
No.
It's all good to miss a goal.
No.
It's not all good to miss a goal, but it's heresy.
Different story if you turn it over,
and it results in a goal. So, I think that's fine. That's what they're doing. So,
I think he's probably aware of where his position on the list is
at
the moment. So, you know, you go through the same motions and.
Oh, look! I hope he does push to the point where, again, all we really want is we don't want people being gifted games. We want there to be a push. We want there to be, you know, eight, nine players that are pushing, that puts the pressure on these players to perform. And if people are getting swapped in and out, and do you know what? If Lang gets a game over someone, you know, who's not performing, then good. That's what makes a good team.
Yeah, and I think we've got that. And by the looks of things at the moment, competition. Look, you will get injuries throughout the season. It does happen. You know, hope with Russell there that, you know, we probably possibly get less and we recover faster.
Well, last year wasn't great.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. It's his first year there, but it's the nature of the game. So we can talk about all these players in hypothetical. If they're all fit, they probably won't be at any one time. So, you know, depending on who gets injured and how many are the same position, you might be relying on these people. But it is good that we're talking about depth for positions.
New boy, Sam Ramsey.
Sam Ramsey
was noticeable due to haircut.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So he's one of the ones that stands out.
It's a sharp haircut. It's a modern haircut. I wouldn't say it's an old-fashioned haircut.
It might appeal more to the younger fans rather than the older ones.
So he stood out.
He looked good.
He looked good. Right, yeah.
He's definitely got some pace about him. Once again, looked pretty assured in himself. Nothing too big to report there, but looking good.
What about Silvani boys? What did do him as two?
Do him as a double? Yeah. That's actually interesting. So, you know, we saw them in the sort of the drills, and
Ben's a big boy, obviously.
Yeah, he's getting bigger, but they started for the last little bits of the drills. They were matched up against each other. So it was Silvani on Silvani, and they pulled him up deliberately to go against each other and head-to-head in a few marking drill system, the wing right in front of where I was
strange, isn't it?
Standing. Yeah, so
that a bit of a... Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, well, they had two pairs, and they were just rotating, and it was Silvani on Silvani. So it was interesting. And, you know, to be honest, Ben might have even got the better of him for a couple of those ones.
He's got a fair bit of hide on
him. Yeah, so they were... And then when the match simulation occurred, they stuck with each other as well, went around together and went head-to-head.
Yep. Don't need Kate Simpson. Just
Kate Simpson.
Is good. Yep. Yeah. What about Sam Walsh? He was a standout today.
Yeah, yep. And in that same bracket, as I've talked about those confidence players, he's above and beyond the list. Really stands out, catches the eye.
And he seems like such a nice bloke off the field from when, obviously, we don't know him, but on interviews and that, but he's certainly a competitor.
He's a competitor.
Man.
You can see he gets that glint in his eyes.
We saw something today where he put a tackle in. It wasn't to hurt too much, but it was, you know, it wasn't your typical kind of training tackle. Like he wants to provide a bit of
he's competitive.
Intensity, yeah,
he's competitive. And you know, we've mentioned in a few podcasts now that we're, you know, that mongrel, we're sort of looking to get a few players like that. And he's a charming bloke and says everything off the field, and I was happy to see, because you know, he's out there, he's confident, and he's just competitive. He doesn't want to lose, and that's going to drive him. Obviously, it drives his training standards. But yeah, that was something I was impressed with. It's a bit of the aggression that I saw. So watch out. And his body's just developing, as you'd hope. Still sort of that leaner, wiry, but he's certainly looking strong. Mm. And I'm really excited by what he can do on top of what he produced last year, which is incredible.
Jacob Weidering,
yeah, he was playing deep for most of it, and didn't really stand out for any good or bad reasons. Just look good.
We've talked about Tom Williamson. What about Matty Cottrell?
Yeah, Matty Cottrell, once again, one of those players sort of got a little bit lost, although he does sort of stand out with that, ginger hair of his. But
he looked quick, though, didn't he?
Looked good, yeah. And, you know, you were talking about the running drills before. He was at the front of those as well, because that's, you know, obviously one of his strengths. So, yeah, looked good without standing out too much. But look, I am excited, but I'm expecting to play a few games this year, so...
Do you think he'll double the amount he played last year?
I reckon there's a fair chance.
Gibbons? We've already touched
on
Gibbons.
Yeah, well, you reckon you saw him. I think I did.
I could have sworn I did.
Interesting to see. Let us know. Let us know on social media.
We're wrong.
Yeah.
Been wrong before. Hugh Goddard.
I didn't really notice him until the... he was out there. He was training. And I think he did a full session by some of his comments around the boundary. But I didn't notice him until... He was signing autographs.
A boy that's been mentioned by Terry on last pod, Josh Honey.
And I understand why. And he was excited for him, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was a bit of a bolter, he thought, and he was excited. And I can share his sentiments. He looked good. He stood out.
Mm.
So number 36, he caught the eye more than a lot of others. And I think he kicked two goals, kicked the only goals for the team in the simulation. Got out in space and finished nicely. So... He was noticeable. Yeah, he's got a good size about him too. He's reasonably big. He's solid.
Does he play this year?
Well,
did Terry put it?
Yeah, I reckon he put him as a smoky, a real smoky. I mean, the expectations probably are that he won't from where he's being drafted. But yeah, kicked a couple of classy goals, finished well, out in open space, found open space, and you know, delivered when he got his chances. So yeah, I was very impressed by him.
A player that shares great similarity with Harry Madden, number 44, Matt Owies.
Twins.
Yep.
Well, good movie. It is pretty much like Twins.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
a cracker. He looked okay. Didn't stand that much. He put a full session in.
Remember you saying his name a couple of times.
Yeah, I definitely...
He was near us for a while.
Yeah, we kept an eye on him, but nothing really stood out.
It's hard. We're talking about training at the end of the day, but...
Yeah, and that's the caveat. As we said from the start, it is very hard. You know, some players stand out a bit more. Doesn't mean, they've had a better session than any of the others, but...
No.
But he's out there, and you know what? He needs... football craft, you know. He played basketball for a long time. He's coming back. So, you know, any session he can get out there when he's uninjured
is a
benefit. He kicked 5 goals in the VFL last year. So,
yep.
In one of those games. So, you know, if he can get through a full preseason and, you know, get that game craft back again, yeah, it could be exciting. You know, he's possibly the predecessor to Eddie Betts, and they're looking at him in that small forward role. So, he was always going to be, he's a Category B rookie, so he was always going to be a bit of a slower burn. So, progressing well. Didn't look out of place.
All right, final one, Fraser Phillips.
Yeah, didn't really know. So I saw him out there, but we're probably keeping a closer eye on others ahead of him.
Yep. The other three that I'll just put in a group together, because they were in a group together training, or lightly training, was Petrescu Seaton, the new boy Kemp.
Yep.
And Lockie Plowman. So they just sat on the half forward line of the Pratt stand or the other end. And it was light drills, but Kemp.
Yeah, he's an impressive specimen. We were down behind the goals to start with, and we were wondering who was running the boundary, and we couldn't work at 17, trying to think who that might be. It wasn't until we I headed out there.
You thought it was Satanta,
did you?
You thought it was Satanta.
Yeah, he had a bit of the... Yeah, it wasn't he's big. Interesting to say that. Yeah, he's quite big. Yeah, has a bit of the Tom Boyds about him. The same number, but went out onto the wing and saw him running laps. And for, you know, what would be probably an 18-year-old kid, he's pretty tall and he's very strong. So he didn't have any bandaging on that knee and was just running those boundary runs. He might have been doing sort of 200 meters and, you know, 300 meters. It was definitely a specified program, and Russell's keeping a close eye on him as well. So, look, hard to say, but in terms of an actual specimen, he's impressive.
We've obviously got the 4-for-1. So that's the 4 players that are currently training for us to make up for the position for Kemp. So we've got Jordan Cunico.
Cunico from Geelong. Was he? He's 22, 23?
Not sure on the old age.
Yeah, I think he's about that, and more of an outside, sort of speedy outsider.
Yep, Callum Moore from ex-Richmond. Ryan Sturgis from
Northern, I think.
Northern.
So from the under-18s.
Yeah, and Lucas Webb from the Bulldogs. So it was hard to kind of pick them out, obviously, because, you know...
We hadn't seen them at training before.
However,
Callum Moore. This is strong.
Callum Moore.
Yeah,
I really liked what I saw.
Yeah, well,
do you know what he reminds me of?
Go on.
He's got a bit of the Mitch Robinsons about him.
He's got a bit of Mitch Robinson.
He's got a real Mitch Robinson.
Why do you say that?
Just the kind of, just looks like him a little bit. Yeah. Like that kind of, you know.
I'm with you. A couple of tats on the leg, lighter hair.
But he looked, but he's thought bigger. He looked really good. He's 193, six foot four, you know, 95 kilos, whatever. But he's, I thought he looked really good, and he just kind of, it took me by surprise. And, you know, you can't kind of go wrong with someone who's that big and, you know.
He can move. Yeah, he certainly.
Only played not many games for the Tigers, but, I mean, if you're getting dropped from the Tigers list, that's definitely no...
no blight, is it?
No, not at all. Two-time premiership team in 3 years, so.
Yeah, well, he caught my eye too. Out of the four, I must admit, Sturgis, I didn't notice amongst the crowd. He might not have even been there, but... Didn't notice him, but that's not, if he was there, that's no knock on him. Lucas Webb, I noticed him out there, but didn't see much. But it was certainly more that caught my eye. And as you said, he's a big boy. He was playing across the half forward flank. I think Wiedering was playing on him for a little bit.
Yep.
But he found space, and you know, there weren't too many marks, but he took a couple, and I was more impressed with the way he set up a couple of goals. You know, whether that be in the training drills or the actual match simulation. So he was that half forward flank that was sort of roaming there, and he was the forward entry kick, and he looked pretty good. So, you know, it's a wet weather conditions. Who knows, in the dry conditions he might be found out a little bit more, or who knows, but he definitely caught our eye when we first got there, and didn't fail to deliver for the game, and I was quite impressed. So they've got, you know, how much longer before one gets picked, but he's only just come. I think that was his first session too, which credit to him.
Yeah, he did.
That's
really
not
well.
Easy, is it?
The one thing I really noticed about today, and the thing I really enjoyed, was the matchups when the players were paired up together. Have a listen to some of these matchups. So this is the drill where it was the marking kind of the forward, you know, but you know, a bit of physical competition as well in between. So we had Cripps on Weedering, which I liked.
Yeah, wow. That's
Fisher with Walsh, which I think's massive.
Yep.
Doherty with Dow.
That's a goodie, yeah.
And Jones with DeConning. But particularly I like Fisher with Walsh and Doc with Dow, because you and I were both, we had obviously the segment who's got a lift, and quite often it was Dow and Fisher. And Fisher had a, I think Fisher had a terrible year last year. Dow was disappointing by, you know, and I know Dow, particularly Dow, who's quite a junior player, but I thought Fish had, you know, he's played over 50 games, 55 games or something like that. So to put Fisher with Walsh, who's probably, you know, we're saying it sounds like he's a consummate professional, with Doherty with Dow, I think that's a really good kind
of... That's really interesting, because yeah, you look, apart from that last combination, you're looking at putting the veteran with one of the younger players to try to teach him.
Yeah, but then I know.
The Walsh one,
yeah.
Are they viewing him as that veteran, putting him in the same category as that, Doherty?
You know, he's obviously not a veteran in terms of, or a statistical veteran,
age,
but
in terms of age, anyway.
It just shows that that guy is probably wise beyond his years. And you know, you pair him up because he's not gonna fuck around. You know, he's gonna go hard, and we saw him today. He looks serious, and I think that's, you know, I reckon that's a really good matchup. And it kind of, it's not a blight on Fisher or on Dow, because I think those, you know, Doherty and Walsh are obviously professionals, but it's kind of just, it's more of a, you know, a shining light on Walsh and how the club view him as a really as a go to kind of guy and who sets a standard. So
an endorsement, and
exactly an endorsement.
And you're not going to get an easy kick on him. You're going to be made to earn your kick, as opposed to going against someone, you know, less...
That's it, yeah.
More junior, less senior, but we're talking about a second-year player here.
And, so, we think that Fisher, I mean, he's got restrictions because of his height and weight. That's not, you know, that's... We didn't get him as an enforcer, but, you know, Walsh is... He'll bring out a real kind of, you know, that's who you want to train against, I reckon.
They're really two key players, aren't they, for whether we are, how high we lift. We're assuming we're going to lift this season, but they're a real barometer, I think. If the two of them can come on, that's going to be very, very important for us.
Does the Cripps-Weedering matchup, does that say to you that it looks like Cripps is going to play more of a forward?
Yeah,
time?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, surely what else could you, I mean, they're similar heights.
Yep.
But, I mean, they're different players. I mean, it might not be anything. We won't be looking too much into it. But it seems like we're going to rotate Cripps a bit more through the forward line, and he's probably getting a bit of a, you know, getting a bit education, of practice in terms of leading up. And Weedering was great last year, so.
Yeah, look, that excites me. I think as much as you want Paddy Cripps in the midfield and winning the hard ball and the extracting line. It, but
we need a few Paddy Cripps, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, once again, as we say, if we're going to be light on for a few tall forwards for the start of the season, it might be, you know, sort of compulsory that he spends some time down there to give a target, and we can clunk them. And the other thing is, give his body a bit of a break, a bit of a rest. He's been carrying the midfield for a long time, so... You know, hopefully it's a sign that we've got a couple of inside midfielders who can, that the club trust can go in there.
And we've always been concerned that he's a young bloke, he cops a lot of hits, so we need to give him that relief playing forward. And maybe we've got a list at the moment where it's not, I'm not saying it's a premiership list, but it's a list where we've got more depth to put in the midfield and we can actually afford to put him forward.
And flexibility is good. So, yeah, if you learn some craft down there and you can put him forward, that's only a good thing from how I view it anyway.
That's right. So, all right, Chris, I reckon pretty happy with that. We've got pretty big Thursday coming up, don't we?
We've got a huge,
Carlton
really,
versus Collingwood.
Yeah, it's a massive Thursday. I mean,
when was the last time we played Collingwood at Princess Park?
Traditional rivals.
Have you ever seen Carlton play Collingwood
at Princess Park? I don't reckon I have.
Would there be no reason to?
I can't see why, unless it was another practice match or, you know, a pre-season game that I just can't remember or didn't go to. Certainly for premiership points, it must have been a long time, because why would you have them play there instead of the G?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, today was fun to get out there and see, and it was a good opportunity to see, like, the broad list and get the chance to see everybody.
Yep.
Come Thursday, even though they'll be going in with a bigger playing list than what we take into a regular season game, we'll be able to focus a lot more, and it'll be hot once you throw the opposition in there. And a few boys mentioned on the microphones when they're getting interviewed today that they've had enough of playing against each other.
Yeah.
They know what each other do. They want to get out and test themselves against opposition.
And Collingwood's not I mean, it's always a good game, and they're a good team.
Yeah,
so.
It's a great team to test yourself. And at Princess Park, Thursday night, if the weather's decent.
Yeah, that'll be good too.
What time is it, 4?
I think it's 4 o'clock.
4 p.m. start. So, get amongst it if you can sneak off work early or, you know, take a half day off or get there. I don't know, I think well worth it because, there might not be too many.
I'm tipping there'll be a fair few Collingwood supporters come into the...
I said if you can take work off, well, that's not much of a problem, is it there? So, this is great to be at the suburban footy field and, weather good. Thursday night.
Yep.
Our treat.
Beautiful. All right, Chris. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. It's our 10th podcast.
Yeah.
I think we're hopefully getting a little bit better. And thanks for everyone for listening and for contributing on Facebook and Twitter and everything like that. Keep doing so. We're always happy to be challenged and to discuss things that you guys want to hear.
That's exactly right. We want to deliver content that you're looking to hear. So, thanks. And we had our biggest show last episode with Terry was our biggest one. So we're on a bit of a high.
Maybe Terry's the X Factor.
Probably is.
I'm Andy.
I'm Chris.
And we are
the Blue Baggers.